Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bijou Podcasts.
Well, it's like Kevin Costner said, you know?
Excuse me.
If you build it, they will come. Field of Dreams. Okay. Great movie.
Have you
seen Field of Dreams?
No.
Well, that's where, you know, that's where
I don't want to see all these movies. Is it about some baseball player that's from the Bronx or something?
It's about baseball, but all these...
Oh, you're still chewing.
Still chewing a cracker.
Well, you are a cracker. Welcome to Couple Goals? I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Ben Jenkins with a cracker.
We are a couple going through fertility treatment, sharing our journey and just, I don't know, chewing the fat, trying to get through it bit by bit. And if you haven't heard our show before and you wonder what brought us here, how we ended up sticking jabs into our stomachs and, you know... wanking into cups.
Into a cup?
Well, you would have had to at one point.
That's really good hummus.
A lot of people, it is good hummus.
Mm.
It's what do you call it? Hummus.
Hummus?
Yeah.
Hummus?
Hummus. Anyway, you can go back and listen to episode 1 and 2, which gives you a bit of an idea of how we met, and episode 2 gives you a background as to why we are on the fertility journey.
Yeah. The journey.
Why we want to have a baby, well, that's for another day. I don't know.
On the fertility journey.
Actually, today's a little bit about, I guess, the spiritual, emotional side of having a baby. And so we probably will get into that a little bit today.
Yeah. We're talking about the conscious side of conception and what we've done, and we've both done our own things in our own way.
Yeah. Let's break it down for a second before we get into... Mm-hmm. What that is, conscious conception, conscious coupling, a lot of people roll their eyes. But essentially, how would you describe what conscious conceiving is?
Well, it's just consciously going through a process to get in touch with yourself, release some sort of pains and things from the past or anything that might be holding you back from feeling positive about having a baby. So that's work you do with yourself. That's work you do with, you know, certain practitioners. To release those fears and sort of build up your positivity, really, and your comfort with having a baby and just getting you ready for the process. So you're consciously aware of it. You're not just going in going, okay, we're going to do some injections and then we're going to do an insemination and that's it. It's being aware of what you're feeling, what you have felt, what you need to let go of, and what you need to get ready for to do that insemination and have the best go for the best possible result.
I think for me it starts even further than that, where it's really, and I think it's right when you speak of letting go of particular issues or I guess problems that aren't serving you, really cleaning out your life.
Yeah. And that goes to like what we've, you know, talked about before, is about those past experiences that have been, you know, I don't want to use the word failure because it's a very harsh word, but those experiences that haven't worked or haven't come to fruition.
Fertility?
Inseminations. Right. So, you know, we've had...
But I'm not talking about them.
No, but I'm saying they're things that leave marks on you. They're things that chip away at your confidence. They're things that chip away at your hope, and they're things that stick on you.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of go back to those and release them to... put them in the past, like truly put them in the past, away, not just out of mind, but out of spirit, out of emotion.
I don't think that's conscious coupling. I think that's a part of dealing with the process, but I think conscious coupling...
It's not conscious coupling, it's conscious conception.
Sorry. I meant conscious conceiving, Ben.
Oh, okay.
We're doing the correction thing like within 3 minutes.
But I am the corrector.
Don't give me the shits. I'm hungry now. And we've recorded another podcast before this already.
Do you want a cracker?
Because
they're pretty delicious.
No.
And a little bit of hummus.
At the moment, you are annoying me at how nice you're being to me. I don't know why it's...
I can see that. You're like sitting there going, I need to have the shits.
No,
with this
I don't.
Guy.
I just need to get this out. And so I was talking about conscious coupling and how I actually think it starts, all of those healings begin so much earlier than the process. I mean, I actually believe that it's really important, and I've believed this for myself. I don't even know if I've actually ever said this to you, but I believe that I had a responsibility to heal my relationship with my parents and my upbringing before I was even remotely ready to think about having a child. And I think that's probably step one of conscious conceiving. And it might not have been at a point where I'd even known you where that process began. But I was very aware I wanted to have children for a very long time. It's always been in my path and my goals. Mm. And I really was very aware that I wanted to parent and raise children incredibly differently to the way I was raised.
Yeah.
And so that process for me was a very long one, and one that I do think was the beginning of conscious conceiving. I think really, I mean, the way that people describe it online is that it's more of an initiation, a rite of passage, that essentially it's a real kind of contract that's signed with the universe long before you start the physical part of it.
Yeah.
That it really is probably even a thought process of you holding a child or you becoming a mum or a dad. That is where you start to consciously conceive. You start to dream those things. But then
the metaphysical before the physical.
That's right. But what you do with the emotional and the spiritual is something that I think is really not discussed as much as it should be. And I think on a lot of the podcasts and a lot of the information that we get is so much about the physical that we really forget about the emotional and I suppose the things that you're to learn, like you said, on the journey of trying to conceive, but even more so before you even remotely are ready to get to that point.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people jump into it without even thinking about the kind of parents you want to be. Like,
they're just like, we're married or we've been together for this amount of time. Let's have a baby.
So let's talk about the kinds of things that we've done as a couple. So, or I'll talk about personally what I've done before I met you and I suppose what I've done myself.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about the things that we did together. But like I said, I have a really big belief that it's important to heal relationships with your parents and the way that you were parented. So you can essentially start from a fresh start.
Yeah.
And I believe that every child really deserves the right to have as fresh a start as they possibly can.
Yeah.
You're never going to get completely fresh. I'm always going to be my parents' child.
Yeah.
I understand that. And there's lots of great things about that. But I think as fresh as you can get, and even just some self-inquiry as to what really hurt me as a kid, what really fucked me up as a kid, what's something that I do that fucked me up? You know, that's a big question. What do I do in my relationship or in my life that fucked me up as a kid? Where did I learn a lesson that I really don't want to teach? And a very big one for me was working through my anger and finding ways to be able to express my anxiety in a much more calm and loving way. And I really wanted to make sure that my kids were not brought up in an environment where the way to deal with emotions and hard times was to scream and yell.
Yeah.
And that was incredibly important to me. And I don't think I truly understood how much I needed to learn those lessons until we started to try. I knew I didn't want to have it. And I had worked pretty hard on shaking a few of those lessons I'd learned. But I was challenged again.
Yeah.
Has been so taxing and so anxiety-inducing that maybe the timing works the way it does, because we're supposed to be learning a full lesson through this process as well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe when I've learned that, and I feel like I'm getting there, I don't really feel like I am loud and angry and, I have my hormones, but I definitely am very different to where I was a year ago.
Yeah.
Maybe as that progresses, then that's where the window will open for this baby to come. I don't know. We have a meditation room or a sunroom at the front of our apartment, and we would sit there and we do meditate together often.
Yeah.
We did this morning. and we would hold hands. And what did we do at the beginning? I mean, we don't do it this extreme anymore, but we did, we would imagine like a joint energy in a treasure or something.
Yeah.
Do you remember what that
was? Yeah, well, it's just like the love bubble. That's what it was.
You need to explain it though.
A representation of the love bubble that we consider ourselves to be in, what we're from the start of our relationship. And so when we meditate together, we meditate, you know, facing each other. And you just imagine that there's a bubble that's in between you. And then when you're meditating, it just grows and then it encapsulates you.
Yeah, but what do you remember from the time that we specifically did it to try and think about conceiving? There was a couple times where we did a full, like, very long meditation around inviting a baby into that bubble. Yeah.
So you would invite the baby from, you know, from the... from the higher self, from the higher energies, and the baby would, you know, you'd imagine it coming down and being there as a part of your, or with us. And, you know, I've had times where we've done that in the past where I have very clearly seen or felt her with us at times.
We can't imagine the same things. That's what you imagined.
Yeah.
I imagined, like, I'm a bit more of a feeling person, so it's not so much a picture. I kind of felt that there was like a cradling, and I suppose I would say the words, and I think I worked through this with my kinesiologist, who I highly recommend going to see a kinesiologist if you are a person that's going, oh, I think I could do some emotional work in my prep, in my baby conceiving prep. Kinesiology really does break down a lot of the past patterns that quite quickly, different to therapy, where you can be in there sometimes for 6 months and I'll go, aha, kinesiology, walk out with your aha moments every time. I'll put in show notes. I actually interviewed my own kinesiology on the Stacey June show, and I'll put that in show notes if you want to have a listen to a little bit more of how that works. But with my kinesiologist, she was working on making sure that I spoke to the spirit baby and really spoke about inviting them in and making sure that they understood we were ready. And so when we first started to try and get pregnant, it was pretty rushed. And when I say rushed, it was, I think, because we were really, really not expecting to fall pregnant straight away.
Yeah.
You know, if you are familiar with IUI and you're familiar with our story, you understand that Ben doesn't ejaculate. So his sperm was only in me for the first time when we did an IUI. We've never, ever, our bodies have never internally crossed paths apart from actually having sex. But there's been nothing left in me when Ben exits.
Yeah.
Exits my.
Just pulls out, babe. Pulls out.
I was trying to think of something really nice.
Pull out, all right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I was looking for different words than that. Yeah. Anyway, So, what was I saying?
Sorry, I'm taking a piss there. That's probably not fair.
What was I saying?
You're talking about the fact that we conceived.
Oh, yeah, to be ready. So when we felt pregnant, it was an absolute shock. We kind of thought we'll start now because it will take a long time.
Yeah.
So through that journey, we really had to work hard of, you know, telling the spirit that we were ready. And I think we had started doing that after we miscarried. So I think maybe, you know, that was what we learned from that experience, that we were ready, but we felt quite rushed. And so, you know, the process the next few times when we were bringing in our baby was to talk about how we're ready and how, you know, trying to say, okay, this is where you'll sleep, and just really thinking about making it a reality in our minds to kind of show the spirit that this is a real thing. Like you are welcome here.
We see your future.
Whenever you want to come, you know? And so you have to say that without that expectation too. Yeah. But it was funny, a girlfriend of mine used to tell me I had one bedside table next to my bed. I had a queen bed and was single, as we all know, if you've listened to any of my podcasts, for a very long time.
Yeah.
And one of my friends said to me one day, you should get a second bedside table because you're living like it's only ever going to be you. And even if it is you for a longer time or whatever, a period of time, you can use the bedside table for something else. But at least you've got it there with energy that someone else might want to put some keys and a phone down on there.
Yeah.
And it was really it was probably a year after that I met you. But
after you bought a second bedside table?
Yeah.
Did anyone else use that bedside table?
That's another conversation.
Okay.
But yes, of course.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't just, you know, sitting on the edge of my bed waiting for you to enter. Enter the room.
Dreams are shattered. My dreams are shattered.
You just need to go on and read or listen to anything. Anyway.
Yeah.
So.
I digress.
You're very familiar with what I was doing in that time. But my point is, you know, kind of, I don't know if I'm necessarily saying go and create a nursery for your child, but mentally you can start to think about ways to invite your baby in that feel a little bit more like it's something happening in, you know, in the present as opposed to in the future.
Yeah.
So it's just a nice way for you to also take the pressure off yourself of when, how, whatever, and just start to think about it is and it will and that you have a plan.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to get down to the specifics, like what we both did, and you've got probably a lot more things that you worked on, because I think when it comes to these kind of spiritual and emotional practices, I'm a little bit coming in a little bit fresher than you are. So
yeah, but babe, for a lot of dudes, you're doing quite well. Like yeah. A lot of people wouldn't, a lot of guys, I don't think, would be interested in doing some of the stuff that you did.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more work.
You
yeah.
also you also worked with a kinesiologist.
Yeah, so I worked with a kinesiologist on, yeah, reconnecting with my sperm, basically. Mm. So that, so I've done that, you know, I...
Just give a very quick backstory, your sperm, because...
Yeah, so I reconnected with my, I worked with a kinesiologist to reconnect with my sperm. So because I hadn't been in touch with that sperm since I donated it, you know, 7 years ago or whatever. Yeah,
so it's in a freezer.
Yeah, so I worked with a kinesiologist to spiritually put me back in touch with that sperm. So that was really reconnecting with it and sort of saying, okay, when you wake up, you know, we've got a job to do here, and just reminding it that, you know, we have a connection, I need it to do something. And that's what we worked quite hard doing. But it was really kind of letting go of any of the fears that that the sperm is any less effective from having been frozen for that period of time and not in my body. Mm. So it was all about letting know, reminding it that it, of the job that it has to do, and reminding it that it's a part of me and I have these feelings and these wants and desires to have a baby. And letting it know that they are the same wants and desires that they need to have. So, yeah. So, it's interesting, you know, talking about kinesiology and coming into it, because it's a fairly new practice for me. I'd heard about kinesiology before, but never really knew what it was. And even when I did the session with the kinesiologist, it wasn't, I didn't really know going into it what I was meant to be preparing for. Mm. And as she has said, in the past, you know, a lot of people are like that. They go in there, they just know that they've got something that they want to work on. I went into that session and walked out of that session just feeling different, just really feeling a lot more calm, a lot more confident that I was ready and in the best place to go into that insemination. And then the other thing was that she said to me, she's like, if when you're doing the insemination, you can just say to the doctor, can I just hold the syringe, like the insemination
which
syringe?
Which we've done pretty much every time.
Yeah.
We've had four attempts now and, yeah, we've had different reactions from different doctors. And that's the interesting thing. You might want to just put a candle in your IVF, your IVF experience or your IUI, or you might want to just do something that makes it a little bit unique to you. God, I encourage it. Like, you know, it's not going to be applauded.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Well, I mentioned it to our doctor at the time and she was all for it.
The first one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The second one was like, I'll check with the nurses. And then the nurses were okay, but then kind of some of them said, you know, I don't know, OHS or something.
Yeah, she just wanted to do things by the book. You understand that.
That's... Well, I don't, because it's your sperm. Like, if you can't own anything more than your own sperm, then what the hell can you own?
Yeah, but she let me do it in the end anyway.
Yeah, but it just anyway, so but you have to push through is what I'm saying. Like you need to have a little bit of tenacity about it because it's not going to always be easy. But I think it is really interesting that we go through this process and like for you, your sperm is put in a little kind of frozen tube. It's taken out and it's, you know, it looks like you don't really have to do much. But there are extra fears involved in that because you do so little. And I know from those awful 2-week waits how awful the no control part is. And I really haven't thought about that from a male's perspective or a male's perspective in this environment because I'm the one going to get the blood tests. I'm the one getting the scans. I'm the one taking the injections, all these types of things. And whilst I find it quite hard and, you know, and taxing, I also still am contributing regularly. And I just didn't really, you know, so there'd be so many fears that get in the way of all that space of someone else having to manhandle your stuff. And so I think it is important for you to let go of those fears that take away from the sperm, the energy of what the sperm's naturally supposed to do. And if you think it all sounds a bit woo-woo, that's okay, but energy is a real thing.
Yeah.
It's scientifically proven that we work, our whole world is built up of energy. Our whole solar system is built up of energy. So if you're not sending positive energy to that sperm to give it that extra push that it needs to have that it could probably be getting from your penis, if it's coming from a different way, then, you know, what's the harm in just kind of giving it a bit of a pep talk in your mind if you're listening or, you know, something around that. Even if you joke with your partner, he's not listening to this podcast, but you want him to be a little bit more woke, as Ben calls himself, you know, even joke about it and say, let's kind of really like encourage that sperm to say, go you good thing. Because at the end of the day, it needs to swim. It's coming out of something quite unnatural. And then it needs to infiltrate an egg.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of factors in that. So I think it's really quite powerful that you did that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I would also, and I do this for a lot of different parts of my life. I really encourage, I've got a daydream exercise that I do in my coaching courses that I would do for myself early days with thinking about having a baby or trying for a baby, which would be to journal. I would close my eyes and meditate for 5 minutes. I think we should all just take a breath for a second. And I would meditate for 5 minutes and start to kind of feel and imagine what it would be like to have a particular day out with this baby. And it might be 4 weeks old, it might be 6 months old, it might be 6 years old.
Yeah, right.
And then I would open my eyes and I would write the picture out specifically as if it was today.
Okay.
So today I went to the shops, you choose the name that you want, say it's like Polly.
Yeah.
Polly was giving me the shits, you know, talk like a mother and just have those moments. This might be a really hard thing for you if you're in the middle of treatment.
Mm.
I did this conceptually, consciously conceiving at the beginning.
Yeah.
So before we started our fertility treatment. So if you're trying to conceive early stages, this might be something a bit easier for you to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that so much now in the middle of trying for a baby and after having all these attempts.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that exercise is recommended, but you could try it if you're up for it.
Yeah.
But it is like a daydream exercise where you really take yourself into starting to feel what it's like to be a mother or a father. And I think sometimes we can really lock our feelings away. Mm. I know I certainly have in this process. So again, I think you just need to be cautious of that. But I do think where you can feel is really important because we block and lock. And I think fear can really actually, work against us in this process.
Stepping into the field is what a psychologist I see would call that, which we were talking about that in a completely different realm. It was about in a workspace. But it was that same thing. It's stepping into the different energy field. It's thinking, feeling what it's like to have that experience. And it's not enough to just think it. You need to feel it. You need to feel it in every kind of cell of your body, you know. And that's what they say about manifesting is really feeling it in every cell of your body. So, yeah, stepping into the field.
Yeah, I think that's important. And, you know, all of these things you need to check in with yourself and making sure that you are, you know, you're up for it. The other thing that was really interesting for me was there's two things I want to add before we wrap up, and I'll end with the biggest one that I've had to learn. But the first one was this Christmas just gone, Ben gave me like five different presents and they were all wrapped up separately. And one of them I opened and it was a box. And it will look like kind of like a shawl, but it was like almost like kitty kind of print with a rainbow. And it was actually this beautiful, colourful swaddle, like a swaddle blanket. And I wasn't thrilled about it.
No, I can imagine. I thought it could go one of two ways.
And I looked at it today, actually, and I'm going to get a bit emotional now. We'd had a miscarriage last year and by Christmas, we'd had two failed attempts by UI. And so at that point, I was just looking forward to enjoying Christmas. We were hosting Christmas as a newly married couple. I just was really trying to stay focused on the positives. So when I opened that, I was kind of a bit like, oh, fuck, now I need to remember what the truth is, which is that, you know, we can't use this. And we either would have been with a baby because we were due around Christmas. Or we could have been pregnant from one of the tries that we had, and we none of them are options.
Yeah.
So I found the present really confronting, but I found I wasn't mad at all. I wasn't mad at all. I just was quite confronted and didn't really want to address it in that day.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad you did that. I'm so glad because there's just not that many people in my life that will subtly just give me that tap on the back. Like it was just a little bit of a step forward that I needed to start to see it as a reality again.
Yeah.
And not as a machine.
Yeah.
And I'd become so disenfranchised with the whole thought of love and the joy of having a baby that I couldn't even remotely look at something so real and beautiful because I just was so robotic about it by this point.
Yeah.
But it sat in the meditation room and then slowly but surely a few weeks after, maybe it was about a month after, I took it out of the box and then I would start to kind of cradle it and I'd have my teary moments in meditation rooms or I'd like use it just to keep warm one day. I just started to use it a little bit more and it's just really allowed me to just not lighten up because I think that's such a cop-out, but just start to daydream in the, I guess it was a new version of daydreaming that I could handle in the midst of fertility treatment.
Yeah.
And so it was incredibly helpful to shift that. It softened me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because when you go through this, you become hardened and you're hormonal and you are tired and exposed and pissed off and all of the things that you can totally forget why you're doing it.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you're too scared of getting too linked to why you're doing it because you don't want to get too disappointed every time it doesn't fucking work.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was, I think, a bit of a conscious conceiving thing that we did and you did on your end. And whilst I found that quite confronting, I do think that it was quite useful to soften me at times that I needed.
Yeah. Well, it's like Kevin Costner said, you know.
Oh, excuse me.
If you build it, they will come.
I hope
1991. So. I think it's 1991, Field of Dreams. Okay. Great movie.
Have
you seen Field of Dreams?
No.
Well, that's where, you know, that's
I
where
I don't
these
want to see all these movies, like these sporting analogies. Is it about some baseball player that's from the Bronx or something?
It's about baseball, but all
I
these
knew it!
But all of these dead people come back, all of these dead baseball players come back and they play baseball on his Field of Dreams. And he builds this pitch in the middle of this cornfield. He cuts it and he builds the Field of Dreams. And he builds it, and they come. That's kind of what we're talking about here, okay?
Okay, I do. But it's, everything has to be some...
It's every moment in life you can think about Kevin Costner.
No, well, think about him from The Bodyguard. Now, do you have anything like a conscious conceiving point? I've got one big one.
I on top of what you mentioned about that and about my reconnection with the sperm and working with the kinesiologist to let things go and remind myself and my body of what we had to do, I will constantly in meditation. I rarely meditate in like mental silence. Sometimes I will do,
we both meditate every morning.
Yeah, every morning. I will sometimes still do mindfulness meditation. So just being aware and noticing thoughts, feelings, emotions, etc. But more often than not,
thoughts, feelings, emotions, etc.
Yes, I rattle them off. More often than not, I do affirmations in meditation. So it's consistently using an affirmation to change the story that we all have in our subconscious. Mm-hmm. So from when we're kids, we have stories that play out. And
particularly words. Words are quite full on.
So if you're if you become a conscious observer, you will hear the story and how things constantly play out. And quite often it's things like, I'm not good enough, I'm a failure, I'm an imposter.
We'll never fall pregnant.
We'll never fall pregnant. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's your ego telling you that you're never going to achieve these things. So I use affirmations like, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm confident, I'm courageous. I, leading up to inseminations, I've always used these affirmations for myself. So that, coupled with me reconnecting with my sperm and letting it know of the job it had to do, I feel like that is doing a bit of conscious conception and really, working hard to reconnect and get the psyche into the right place for the process.
Mm. I think the biggest thing in the end that is whether you are, is an understanding, regardless of whether you're going through fertility treatment or you're trying to conceive naturally, is surrendering.
Yep.
And I think there's something so much more powerful than surrendering when it comes to conception than there is in other parts of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Because surrendering, whether you're going to get that job, whether it's going to be sunny on the day you're throwing a picnic,
yeah,
whether that wedding venue is available that you want on the date you want, those kinds of things are versions of surrendering. But the version of surrendering around conception is something truly, it's truly life-changing.
Yeah.
And it has changed my life.
Yeah.
It has changed the course of who I am.
Yeah.
Because not only has it changed my understanding of timing.
Yeah.
But it isn't just my timing.
No, exactly. I was just about to say that.
It's the baby's time.
Yeah. It was like I asked for a sign. Like, so when Stace and I both have different signs that we ask the universe to show us when we've got a question about something, when we're asking the universe a question, or it could be anything. And I asked a question and asked for the sign about whether we were going to have a baby, whether we were going to get pregnant.
Ever.
And so after asking that question, I think it was probably about an hour after that where I went, hang on, I'm not going to see this sign.
Mm.
Whether it's yes or no, I'm not going to see this. And I knew that. And I didn't see the sign. I haven't seen the sign.
It's so funny because I've done exactly the same.
Yeah. Because I
did it leading into this round too and I never saw it.
Yeah.
And I've seen it for so many different things.
Yeah. Same. And yeah. So that was when I was aware that, this is,
this is divine
timing. This is divine timing. And it's really about you.
Well, it's all divine timing, but this is the crux. This is the top of the creme de la creme of timing. Yeah.
So it's more about you or us as individuals getting ourselves in the best position to welcome a baby, and as a couple getting ourselves in the best position to welcome a baby.
But the interesting part about that sign example is that you can ask a sign and it can be provided for you to answer what's on your journey.
Yeah.
The thing that I think we forget, we aren't aware of, we don't even consider, is that we're not just working with our timing now, we're working with a whole other spirit's timing.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you ask the sign, when I ask the sign, we're asking a question to show us a sign on about someone else's timing.
Yeah, exactly.
Not our timing.
Yeah.
So the sign can't show up for us because we can ask it about our timing.
Yeah.
But when it comes to conceiving a spirit baby and a beautiful little new human that is coming in from, if you believe in past lives like I do, who knows how many other lives, who knows where it is, you know, who knows what stage it wants to enter, who knows if it feels comfortable, confident, you know, who knows if you've done the work to a point that it's ready to come. Like, there are so many factors in their experience, their timing, their journey, that we often forget that this surrendering process when it comes to conceiving is actually so much about someone we do not know. So we think that we get an idea of surrendering the timelines. We think we get an idea of surrendering our journeys and our paths, but this is really, truly a life-changing lesson to learn. And I don't think you really learn it until you are properly trying for a baby.
Yeah.
Because you really are faced with being more out of control than anything will ever bring you out of control in your life, because you are prepping for something that doesn't exist. Yeah, but it does exist spiritually.
Yeah.
But you have absolutely no idea. Yeah. And the reason you don't have any idea, because if you were trying to get a job or you were trying to, you know, attract something else into your life, you can use your gut because it's kind of you hooking into your divine timing. It's hooking into your inner channel. It's hooking into your inner voice.
Yeah.
But when it's about someone else's inner channel, someone else's inner voice, someone else's spirit, someone else's journey on this world, you can't hook into that. It's not yours.
Yeah.
Even though it feels like it's yours because you're going to be the parent, the mother, the father, it isn't yours. So that has been an incredible journey for me.
Yeah.
And it's a life lesson that I will never, ever, ever regret learning through the way that we're learning it. You know, I am upset and tired and exhausted and feel not myself a lot of the time through this process. But I am forever grateful I've learned something like that. That kind of, those lessons don't come around all the time. And I think people that have had to go through the challenges and the journey that we have, and a lot of you listening have, will learn that kind of lesson and understand that specialness in such a unique way that is truly a gift.
Yeah. Going back to what you said before, I don't think I've ever felt more out of control than in this situation. It is something that you really have to surrender. And that is something that I also do during my affirmations. You know, he's saying that I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm courageous, I'm confident. Surrender my fears around, you know, having a baby. Surrender my fears around money, or I surrender my fears around the future, because I know that our future is bright.
Mm.
So, yeah, it is all about surrendering of the highest order.
So just to recap, you know, making sure that you've got some healing sorted with your parents, making sure that there's particular things about yourself that you've worked on and capped that you don't want to pass on.
Yeah.
Making sure that your relationship is in a state that you feel like you're united.
Yeah.
You've had a conversation of how you want to raise kids. And even if you're in the middle and you haven't done anything, do it now. Like, it's okay, you know, how you want to raise kids, what kind of parent you individually want to be, and see how that matches and the bits that it doesn't. And, you know, either talk that through or celebrate the differences. There's no right or wrong here.
Yeah, even if it's just letting go of your fears around having a baby.
But that's a big one too, of fears of how it's going to look like.
Yeah.
So we're really working through thyself and then going through and not being against kind of ceremonial things before the baby's here. I mean, we baptize babies, we name them, we have all these kinds of ceremonies when they're here. But maybe start to think about something little that you can do with your partner to welcome the baby in before it's conceived. I mean, they say that it's, I've got to get this stat off. I don't know what the actual stat is in terms of off the top of my head, but they say, I think it's like 3 months before your baby spiritually finds you. Like, it's coming to you before it's physically coming to you.
So it's 120 days or something like that.
Yeah. And so really start to think about the fact that, you know, it's all the time. Like, you might be like, okay, in 3 months I want to try, and then think about, you know, sorting your body out 1 month before. You start to really think about the fact that that baby is looking at you going, are you ready now? You know, because it's choosing you well before your your physical journey. So thinking about it from that perspective.
But someone said that to you, didn't they? Because, I think we were talking to someone about, you know, getting ourselves ready financially for a baby, which is a big discussion. It's a topic for another podcast.
We haven't done too many of that with, to be honest.
But they said, oh, you don't have to worry about that. You just need to worry about whether you're spiritually ready for the baby to come down, because that's what they're looking for.
That's right. Then the baby, think about what a baby wants. It wants security.
Security.
It wants safety.
Yeah.
And it wants joy to some degree. It wants love.
Yeah.
It doesn't want the richest parents. Like, it doesn't know that. It's not, it doesn't know about Western society's expectations of us. That's all your shit, you know. It just wants to know it's safe and it'll be fed and bathed and loved and secure, and it's got people that love each other. It's coming into a loving environment. That's what it wants. So, yeah, thinking about it from that perspective is a great point. I think we think we have to have all this other stuff worked out, but like everything else, that stuff often will, it helps, but it will come.
Yeah.
And the last one is, really working on the surrendering. And I think more so than that, the understanding of how this journey is your child's journey.
Yeah.
And you're on it with them, and you're on it to honor them, but they are not on your journey. They are not on your timeline. Yeah. They are not on your wish list.
Yeah.
You are now wanting to be a parent, and this is the biggest thing I've understood. It's now time to parent now, which is selfless love from the beginning, even before it's entered your body. So you have to go, okay, little one, you come when you're ready.
Yeah.
Just like a three-year-old's going to fight, you know, not come away from the TV, or a 12-year-old's not going to want to leave a sleepover or whatever, like, It starts now that you start to put yourself a little bit to the side. And a lot of us aren't ready for that. And that's probably why it takes a little bit longer, where you have to understand it's not actually about you.
Yeah. And it's important to be honest with your partner as well, if that's where you're feeling like you are. Because you can work through that together to get yourselves in a good
place. That's a good point. I think you'll have different fears. You'll have different things that come up. You can't be mad, you know, about where someone is on their path. All you can do is kind of support each other through this and try and think of it as a real spiritual connection and a real spiritual growth period, well before the physical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Good luck with it all, everyone.
Yeah, stay positive.
Yeah, that's everyone. Not easy.
That's
hard.
Yeah.
But the affirmations is actually a really good tip. And I think you can Google, say your, you know, affirmations for anger, affirmations for lack of patience. You know, there's plenty online. I'll put a link to, you know, a good affirmation website if you aren't sure. But you can find them. Don't feel like, oh, God, where do I even find that? If you think of a particular thing that you want to overcome and then think of the, you know, think of what it is, you could even find it yourself. It could be, I don't want to be angry. So you would say, I am calm. I am patient, know.
Yeah.
Think of the opposite of what it is you want to be and affirm that. If you'd prefer them written, you can easily Google it. They come up there everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We love hearing all of your comments. We are completely open to hearing about your journey. Thank you so much for so many of you that write in privately and anonymously and say that they're going through similar stuff.
We appreciate it.
We're going through our own stuff and it's
the community is there, and you know, the support we have for each other and you know, get behind each other, that helps too.
Yeah, and it just helps to know as well that sometimes this is tricky for us. And we originally started it, of course, as we said at the beginning of this series, that we felt we weren't able to access content that we wanted to access, that we felt like was relatable and current to us. So that's why we're here to do it. Sometimes it's easier than other days.
Mm.
So when you do contact us and let us know that you're loving it, it does make it well worth it. Really, really appreciate it, especially, you know, when we share the bits. We share not all of it. Like sometimes it's low and it's hard. So
yeah.
We really appreciate you sharing your story. Come and join the Couple Goals Facebook group as well, guys.
Yeah. And a rating and review is always helpful to help us get the word out there to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
Why
are you talking like this?
Yeah, sorry. That was you. Well, no, I've got a bit of a head cold.
Okay. All right. We're going to wrap it up. But thank you so much for listening. We're sending you so much love wherever you're listening, whatever stage you're in, wherever you're at. We see you and we are beside you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bijou Podcasts, the home of taboo conversations.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.